In 1519, Hernan Cortes made a decision that would echo through history. Upon landing on the shores of the New World, he faced impossible odds. Outnumbered and surrounded by uncertainty, he gave an audacious order: burn the ships. With no way to retreat, his men had one choice: fight to succeed or die trying. And they did succeed. Cortez's story isn't just about conquest, it's about commitment. It's about making bold decisions, eliminating excuses, and going all in on your vision. Welcome to Burning the Ships, the podcast where we explore what it means to take risks, push boundaries, and refuse to look back. I'm Jason Seward, your host. In each episode, we'll share stories, strategies, and insights to help you tackle your challenges head on, overcome obstacles, and make your own history. This is Burning the Ships. Let's get started. Welcome to Burning the Ships Weekly Ramble. I'm your host, Jason Seward. And today I'm going to talk about the importance of being in a successful marriage as an entrepreneur. Now, I'm not necessarily saying it's important to be married as an entrepreneur, because I don't necessarily believe that. But the importance of, if you are married, how critical that is to be, that marriage being strong, have a supportive spouse, you be supportive as a spouse as well, and how much of an impact, and probably the most important piece of being an entrepreneur, and not just an entrepreneur, just having success and, you know, good mental health overall. So before I get into that, I'm gonna kick it off with JJ's joke of the week. And here we go with JJ's joke of the week. What is orange and sounds like a parrot? A carrot. And that is JJ's joke of the week. That's funny because he loves to eat him some carrots. So that's a pretty good one. So now let's get into it. So as you guys know that have followed along for any amount of time, most of you know me, a lot of you know my wife. But it is, you know, my marriage to Katie is the most important thing in my life, bar none. I mean, my kids are right up there as well. But my marriage and relationship with my wife, Katie, that came along before the kids did, right? And I've said that before, I loved her first. So we really put a lot of time, thought, and attention into our relationship. Excuse me. Our relationship, our friendship, our everything that's involved with being a married couple, right? Been married for coming up on 16 years. Been together, I believe, 2 years prior to that. She doesn't listen to this, so I'm not that worried about it. But anyway, we've been together for a long time. Built quite a nice life together and all that good stuff. But I'm going to talk about, you know, how important that has been to my journey as both just my journey as a human, as a man, as an entrepreneur, as years before that, as just, you know, doing a job and having a career, and how big of a role she has played in that, and that I have tried to, you know, reciprocate and be the same value to her in the relationship as she is to me. So number one, you know, and you hear this quite often, but I heard it in an interview recently where a billionaire, and I wish he was an older gentleman. He's probably looked to be in about his 80s. I did not catch who it was, but he was in an interview with someone just talking about all things wealth, creating wealth, sustaining wealth, protecting it for generations to come and stuff like that. And the interviewer asked him what's been the number one strength in his growth. Now, remember, he's in his 80s. Like, what's been the number one asset or number one strength or benefit or thing that he's leaned into the most as an entrepreneur? I forget quite how they phrased it. And he thought for a second and he said, my spouse. And he went on to elaborate. He said, without the support, the love, and all the other things that he needed from the closest person to him in life, that being as strong as it has been, has basically eliminated an area of stress and anxiety that, a lot of married couples have because their relationship was so strong over the years. And his wife was still living. They've been married, I think he said, 55 years, something like that. But having that rock solid was the number one piece of his puzzle in growing his businesses and wealth. So that really hit me because I can relate. Like anybody that's gotten to know me knows that, you know, my tendency is just to be all over the place, right? My mind never stops. I am always thinking. I cannot turn it off. I cannot sit still. I try. It's funny. My friends laugh at me because, like, a lot of my friends have seen every movie that has ever come out, right? And I'll talk about Bill Phillips, my business partner. Like, he can recite lines to thousands of movies, and he references those as jokes all the time, and I have no idea what he's talking about. Because number one, like growing up, and even now, I was never able to sit down and watch a full movie. My brain will not sit still, so I would get bored. Now, as I've grown up and kind of slowed my brain down a little bit, I can go to the movie theater. I can enjoy a movie with my kids and stuff like that. But in general, all of the Disney movies and all these classics that everybody refers to, I've never seen any of them. Or if I have, I wasn't paying attention. So I like when people reference movies and stuff like that, I can't relate, don't understand. So I'll say all that to say that's just kind of illustrates or give you an idea how my brain is. I cannot stop. There's only one thing, and now three things, that can stop my brain. And that is my wife and my two kids. And I've worked hard at this, but my wife in particular, because that's the topic I'm talking about today, knows what to say, how to do it, how to interact with me in a way where I can just let everything else go, right? And I can just be in the moment with her. I haven't always been perfect with that because sometimes my mind does wander, even today, but I'm a lot better. But the value, just that alone, being able to let me relax with her and just give me what I need in certain moments and stuff like that. And her figuring that out along the way as, you know, we've grown together without me really asking for it, because I don't ask for anything. But her figuring that out early on, like she's been a rock star our whole marriage, but and being able to provide that for me, that safety, that comfort, that person that just makes me feel calm and just about every moment we are together has provided so much value to my life and so much value to my businesses, my career, and every other aspect of my life. I'm going to elaborate. So one thing that we communicated on, like back to when we were dating very early, and we were very open about this, was that neither one of us, we were falling in love with who each other were at that time, right? That's the person we were falling in love with. And with that came some things about each other that we might not have liked, right? For example, I have a very, and I've worked to get much better at this because I've had to, but I tend to have a very condescending approach or tone about me, especially when I'm talking to the people I love the most, which is unfortunate. And that's like my family, my brother, my sister, my mom, Katie, you know, people that I love and I'm closest to. When I try to, like, they might be venting to me or telling me something that they're frustrated about. And my go-to is to always try to fix their problems, offer them solutions, but I do so, or I have done so, in a very condescending way. So I say things in a tone, not intentionally, but I say it in a tone that they perceive it as me thinking, oh, I know better than you. Just listen to me. I know everything. The way you're doing is wrong. What were you thinking? That kind of thing. Those are all the things that my tone is saying. I'm not saying those words. So that was something early on. Katie picked up on that about me. She loved most everything else about me, but that was one thing that I struggled with. We talked about it, and there were things about her as well that I didn't like so much at the time. But through our conversations early on, we both agreed, and we have not wavered one iota from this agreement that we would never, the person we fell in love with and chose to eventually marry, was the person we're going to stay in love with. Now, we would both evolve over time as we become more mature and advance in careers and have kids. Just think your whole approach to life changes, you know, over time. But the core of who we are is who we fell in love with. And we would never try to compromise that. Never. And we have not. And she definitely has not. She has never once, I'm hard-headed as they come. So is she. But I am very hard-headed. I get set in my ways a lot. I'm way better now, like almost a complete 180 than what I was even 5-10 years ago. But I didn't want to hear a different opinion of my own. I didn't want to hear it. And if I did, I was ready to battle with you. And that was just my approach to everything. And it was very confrontational, not physically, but you know, and I'm not talking about just with her. I'm talking about with everybody. Like, if you got a different opinion than me, and I don't like it or agree with it, I'm going to tell you that. And we're going to talk about it. And we're going to debate it and stuff like that. And I'm not going to let it die until I feel like I've one-upped you in some way. Well, I would do that to her a lot as well. But that we agreed early on that we would never try to change these things. Like, we would talk about it. Like, she would tell me, like, you know, it doesn't help. I mean, this is a real, like, conversation we've had several times, but she would come home from, let's say, work, and something happened at work that, you know, she's a teacher, so something might have happened at work that she works with second graders all day, or, you know, prior to the job she has now, she was in special education. So she was working with young kids with disabilities. And that's who she was around 90% of her day outside of being home. So she didn't have anybody to vent to or talk to, like, at the job. So she comes home and she would vent all the day's, you know, drama and things that she had to deal with to me. Well, what would I do? Because naturally I'm a problem solver and blah, 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 I would go right into, like, my response being solutions. Why didn't you do this? Did you think about doing this? Did you ask them this? Did you say this? Next time you might want to say this. Tomorrow you might want to go in, take this person and talk to them about this. That's the last thing she wanted from me. And it took me, because I'm hard-headed, a lot of years to understand that all she wanted was just me to say, I understand. That sucks. That sucks. Anything I can do? You want a glass of wine? Anything I can do? Like, that's all she wanted. And for years, I didn't give her that. But she never tried to change that about me. She would just, through conversation, say, you don't always have to fix my problems. Sometimes I just want you to listen. And you're my person. So I want you to listen. And instead of offering solutions, just give me a shoulder. Give me an ear. So over time, I learned that, and we evolve, right? And now I'm much better. I know exactly how to handle those situations. Sometimes I'd go back to my old ways, and she'll check me on it pretty quick. But my point is, she didn't try to, like, because of that one, like, bad trait of mine, it wasn't like, she didn't hammer on me about it, right? It was who I am. She didn't try to compromise it. We just talked through these things, and she had things that she would do that I didn't necessarily like. And we both still do these things, but we talk through them and we don't try to change each other. We don't try to compromise each other. So what did that give me as I was building my career to have a spouse like that, that I didn't, I could rely on. I could rely on her faith in me, her trust in me. I could rely on her not trying to change me, anything like that. I didn't have to stress about any of that. So, like, you only have, as a human, a certain amount of bandwidth for just stress, right? Stressors. You can only take so much in your head before things go off the rails. Well, my former career and now my business, there's no shortage of stress. There's no shortage of adversity. There's no shortage of things that consume my mind that might be going bad, or it might be going good, and I've just got to think through, how to continue it going good. So that takes up a lot of bandwidth. Well, over the years, if I had the stress of worrying about my wife all the time, worrying about is she happy, worrying about her trying to change me, worrying about is she stressed in the marriage, worrying about all these things, if that was taking up bandwidth in my head, then on top of my job and my career, at some point something would have exploded, right? It could have been our marriage. It could have been my job. Something would have exploded. It could have been too much stress and I go down the road of trying to drink my way out of it, or whatever the case may be. But I never had to deal with that. To this day, I haven't had to deal with that stress from a spouse that takes up that much bandwidth. And as a result of that, I've got a lot more bandwidth to fill with problems to solve out and or to solve. Y'all know, y'all have heard me say it a million times, I love solving puzzles. Well, if, let's say I've got, just to put numbers to it, let's say I've got 100 units of bandwidth in my brain. And I had a marriage that was just always, we're just fighting all the time. She's trying to change everything about me. She's not giving me my space. She's, I'm not making her happy and all these things. And that's just weighing, let's say that took up 50 units of my bandwidth. Well, now I've only got 50 units left to apply to these problems that I enjoy solving, but the adversity and stuff like that that comes along with business and careers and stuff like that. Well, that's not enough bandwidth to apply to those things the way I like to do it. In real life, I have 100 units of bandwidth, zero. I very, very rarely in our 18 years together have I had to take up bandwidth from stress from my marriage. And I know I'm very fortunate. I know that's not the case for everybody, but that's the power. Back to that 80-year-old man saying that the biggest piece of or the biggest asset to his growth and everything was his spouse. It was because of that. She didn't take up a lot of bandwidth of stress. Now, she takes up most of my bandwidth in other areas. Like, I think about my wife all the time, but mostly in a positive way, right? I get excited about trips we have coming up, dates, dinners, things we're doing with the kids, things like that, planning the kids' schedules and stuff like that. That can be stressful, but I don't count that as using up bandwidth. So I try to give her the same thing, right? Katie, she's a bit more, used to be a lot more, but now I'm still a little bit more anxious about things and just schedules and all the stuff we have going on. But I give her the space to be that way. I'm not trying to change it. You got to stop being so anxious about everything. I never say that, right? Sometimes I'm like, all right, I try to, bring logic to certain situations and to help her. But most of the time, I just let her be who she is and let her work through it in her way, just like she gives me that same freedom and flexibility to do myself. So because of all this, we have a relatively stress-free marriage, right? The most important thing in my life, my home, my family, is very stress-free. Now, it comes with little bouts of stress. I'm recording this on a Tuesday morning, and it wasn't just a couple hours ago. My 8-year-old son, JJ, decided that he was going to wreck everybody's day because he didn't want to get out of bed. So you think that comes with a little bit of stress? Of course it does. So we got to work through that. That's a little bit of stress. Then we move on. We realize he's 8. We're good. That's nothing atypical there.
But overall stress, I don't have to deal with any of it in my home life. And that is so valuable to everything else I do. My life, my personal, my business, everything else, I don't have to deal with any stress there. We, you know, Katie's not screaming at me, yelling at me, dictating everything I do. And that's another piece, like when it goes back to compromising who we are. We give each other a lot of space to be who we are, right? I love to golf and I love to hunt. Those are two main things I love to do in this, and I love business, right? I love thinking. But outside of that, when I just want my mind to relax, I love to hunt and I love to golf. Katie has never, ever once told me that I can't do those things. Not once. Not that I need to dial them back. None of that, right? Now, I've had to dial them back in certain years just because I had to spend more time on business or work or whatever it is. But when I get the itch to play some golf and I have some space to do it, and we don't have any obligations for the kids or anything on a particular evening or Saturday or whatever, as long as the calendar allows for it, I can go golf all I want. I hunt so much at time during hunting season, I'm out there. Now it's more with the kids, but before the kids came along, it was like, I would have been fine if she would have said, hey, you know, you can only hunt once a month. I'll take that back. I wouldn't have been fine because I would have gone against our agreement that we wouldn't compromise each other. But she never once did that. She might say, hey, we got a wedding to go to October 25th. It's a Saturday. Just know we got to go to this. You're not going to hunt. And I might gripe a little bit, but I would go. But overall, she never compromised that. Golf. I go on two golf trips a year with my buddies. I try to play more golf now, but over the years, last several years, I go on two golf trips. We do a winter one, which unfortunately we weren't able to do this past winter. Just we had a lot of conflicts with everybody in the group. Not conflicts like, I mean, time and schedule conflicts. We weren't able to pick a weekend to do it. But then we do a big fall golf trip every year. It's about a week long or 5 days where we fly all over the country to do this. You know, this year we're going to Scottsdale, Arizona. We schedule it well in advance. I communicate with Katie. We look out into the calendar. We see what the dates are. And as long as there's nothing to conflict with those dates, if it is, we try to do a different week that works for everybody in the group. But she has never once said, you can't go on that golf trip this year. It's not going to work. Unless, like, we've set the dates in stone and it conflicts with something big on our family calendar. Never once. In fact, she encourages it. She will encourage me to go out and play golf. Just a few weeks ago, she was doing something with the kids and her parents. I love her parents. I don't mind spending time with them, but it was like going out to dinner or something like that. It was a nice day, and I had a chance to go play golf that day. Not only did she, before I even said I had a chance to go play golf, she said, hey, it's going to be a pretty day. Why don't you go golf? I got the kids. We're going to go out to eat with mom and dad. She said that. Well, what do you know? I'd been asked to play a round of golf. I went and played golf, had a fantastic time. They had a fantastic time. We come back together that evening. We're fine. That brings so much value to my life. Now, I give it back to her as well, right? So we, you know, I do my golf trip every year. This past weekend at the time, it's Tuesday. This past weekend, I went down to Outer Banks with four of my high school buddies. These are buddies I went to high school with, longtime friends. We see each other maybe once or twice a year because we're all just busy with life. But for the last 4 years, we've gone down to Outer Banks. One of my buddies has a birthday around this time of year, and we just go down there, get a cottage for two nights, play golf, and just really just have like a mind relaxing few days where we talk about the same stories we talked about the year before. We laugh at the same stories. We don't talk anything about each other's businesses, nothing like that. We just have a great time relaxing. My wife not only doesn't mind me doing it, she knows that like a weekend like that refreshes me, revives me. And from a business standpoint, I just need a break sometimes. I give her the same thing. She does at least 2 girl trips a year with her friends, or the women in her family. They're getting ready to go to Nashville here in a couple weeks. And they go for like 4 or 5 nights, just the women in the family. They go, they have a good time, they go see bands, they do all the things, shopping, all that stuff. And I stay here with the kids and we have a good time. And not one piece of me thinks, you know, God, she shouldn't be doing that. She should be here. I need to stop her from doing that. And vice versa, she doesn't do that with me. I encourage it. I want her to have those times to get away so she can just relax, because she carries a lot more in her brain than I do. But she needs, every woman, especially every mother, needs that space and those few days here and there just to get away and get away with friends, have fun, laugh till their stomach hurts, just like I do when I'm out and about with my buddies. And then we come back together and we keep on with life. And because we've never tried to compromise each other with this, we are so free and flexible. Like, I don't have to, I've got a lot of buddies that have to like really get creative on how they ask their wives to just go play golf on a Saturday, right? I never have to do that. Somebody calls me on a Thursday and says, hey man, we got a tee time at whatever golf course on Saturday if you want to join. I go straight to Katie. I say, hey, we got anything going on Saturday? I don't see anything on the calendar. If the answer is, no, we're good. Well, so-and-so invited me to play golf. Am I good? Yeah, go for it. Have fun. Or, no, we've got, so-and-so's got a game, I forgot to put it on the calendar, or I've got to go do this, and I need you to keep the kids or be with the kids that morning. Okay, no problem. And then I'll tell them, hey, guys, I can't make it. No hard feelings. I never whine about it, anything like that. It goes the other way. If she says, hey, so-and-so invited me out, we're going to go out and have drinks after work and go to a movie or go get our nails done or whatever. My thoughts aren't, well, God, she gets to do that, then I need to get, no, it's, absolutely. Go do it. I'll make it work. Unless I've got something with work or something like that already scheduled. So my point is, and kind of how I started this, was the importance of having a solid marriage in business or as you're building your career. And it goes back to space and bandwidth. And if you have a spouse that, through no matter what the circumstances are, they're going to support you, they're going to be your biggest fan, they're going to be your biggest cheerleader, and you're that way with them, then that eliminates an entire tsunami of potential stress that could interfere with you growing a business, right? So if I've got the stress of growing my business, and then I got to come home to the stress of just a unhappy marriage and stress with that, my whole life is stress. There's no escaping it. And that's going to make none of it good, right? But because I don't have that stress at home, I'm able to really just be free with what I do in the business, right? And that has given me so much courage to really go all in on things, because, like, I've talked through the big things with her in business, but for the most part, she gives me full courage. She has full faith and trust in me that I'm going to make the right decisions for our family. And if those decisions fail or lead to a path of failure where we got to pick ourselves back up and try something different, I've got support there too. I never doubt it. I never question it. So I don't have that cloud kind of following me around of, I've got to get this right, or I've got to dance on eggshells around Katie because she's going to, no. We openly discuss everything. She doesn't restrict me from anything that I want to do. I don't restrict her from anything she wants to do. We communicate on it all. And at the end of the day, with all the stuff we like to do, you know, her shopping and hanging out with her girlfriends and me hunting and, you know, fishing and golfing or whatever it is I want to do, all those things, at the end of the day, the thing I want to do most is be with her. That's it. Now, if I'm with her 24/7, I'm going to want to go play golf sometimes, you know, and she's going to want me to get out of her hair because we have different interests, and that's okay as well. We don't have to be interested in all the same things, and we're certainly not, but we support each other, we love each other, and that provides so much value. So if you want to know how I've gained any type of success in business and in my career and in life and the things I have, I can 100% pin all of that on, I've done some things and made some good choices and some bad choices, but the best decision I ever made was marrying Katie and having that support, spouse, faith, trust, freedom, flexibility, understanding, communication, compromise, all those things, we have it. And we have it at a level 10. And that has allowed me to really lean in on everything else I've done in life to be successful since I've met her and been with her. So, with all that said, a lot of you, probably most of you listening to this are married. You might have kids or you might be thinking about getting married. If you're thinking about getting married or you're in a relationship, evaluate it. Evaluate all the things I just talked about and see where you stand on that, right? If you had something come up, let's say today is Tuesday and somebody calls you and said, hey, two Saturdays from now, plug in whatever hobby it is. Let's say your hobby is golf, like mine. Two Saturdays from now, we got a chance to play this really nice course. We got an opening in the foursome if you want to join. And think about if somebody hits you with that. If you can say and honestly say, yes, I want to, let me run it by my wife or my husband, and I'll get back with you right away. If you can say that and then go to your spouse and say, hey, so-and-so called. They have an opening two Saturdays from now. Do we have anything on the calendar? And you trust that that person is going to not give you hell for just wanting to go play golf on a Saturday, but they will honestly tell you, yeah, I don't mind. We're good. We don't have anything going on. Or if you do, they can say, hey, yeah, we got this going on. Oh, I forgot. Can't do it. Call the person back. Say you can't do it. If you have that type of relationship where you don't have to stress, or like I said earlier, I know a lot of folks that they would have to find a creative way and an angle to work in going golf. Like they would have to say, hey, if I pay for you to have a spa day next Saturday, can I go golf while you do it? So they'd have to work an angle, right? I never have to do that because there's going to be a weekend where she asks me, hey, are we free? Blah, blah, blah. Can I go do this? No problem. And we give that back and forth equally to each other. And that's where fairness comes from and all the good stuff that comes with it. So ask yourself that, do you have that? What are some things you can do to try to, create that or make that better in your relationship? And trust me, mine and Katie's relationship is not perfect. No marriage is. Like we have our little fights, we have our moments, and all these things I've said about me being condescending and her anxiety, we fight about it from time to time. But overall, we understand it for what it is. We love each other. We love the core of each other. And we don't try to compromise that. And for that reason, I have had a tremendous amount of success in my career, my life, my mental health, my physical health, all that stuff, because of the spouse that I chose to marry. And I think she would say the same thing. So think about it, evaluate your own situation, see if there's any takeaways, and I'd love to hear about them if you want to shoot me a message. But that'll wrap up another Burning the Ships weekly ramble, and I appreciate you guys following along. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burning the Ships. I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, 608B Capital, helping real estate investors secure fast, reliable funding to fuel their boldest moves. If you're ready to take your investing to the next level, visit 608bcapital.com to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your feedback not only helps us improve, but it also helps us reach more people who are ready to burn the ships and commit fully to their goals. And don't forget to share the episode with someone who needs that extra push to take bold action. I'll leave you with this. Burning the ships isn't just about removing the option to retreat. It's about unlocking the courage to charge forward. No matter the odds, the past is behind you and the future is yours to conquer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Burning the Ships.